Mara because she spoke beautiful English, and with a British accent, because Hong Kong, the proximity of Hong Kong, very close. Actually, we were in Southern China. We were in Guangdong Province, and the college was Guangdong College, which would be like Alabama and the University of Alabama. So over there, it was Guangdong Province, and this was the College of Guangdong. So the students knew grammar, and they told us that before we got to Guangzhou. Actually, we had been in California at a college for a month of orientation before we went to China. They told us some things we could do, some things we could not do. One thing they told us was don't worry about the grammar. The Chinese know grammar better than we do because they've had it drilled into them since they were small children. And that is really true. They knew grammar extremely well, and they spoke English extremely well. So what they wanted to do, though, was to have an American teach them. And they really were very, very good students, extremely good students.
How was it with this in the prices over there? Is there a clothing or wind or anything like that?
Well, first of all, there are no grocery stores. There are no grocery stores at all. That was kind of a shock because we're so accustomed here to going and buying what we need in the store. What they do over there, they will have people come in from what they call the countryside. These are the peasants who will raise crops, and they have certain amounts they have to raise for the government, and then what is left over, they're able to sell themselves. So we would go out and buy, on the side of the sidewalk, you would buy certain vegetables, you could buy potatoes and, you know, things like that. One day, my husband and I decided that we would go to the open air market, and that was a surprise. But they would have like fresh pork, but it would just be lying out on a table, maybe flies on it, and you would see poultry had been chilled and hanging up in the hot air and in the sunshine, with of course no refrigeration at all. And one thing I saw was hanging up there, and I said, you know, to my husband, what is that? And it happened to be dog. And at that, I just decided I had had enough of the market, and I came on that. But that is typical of China, and especially in real cold weather. The Chinese don't look at dogs like we do. They look at dogs kind of like you would look at cattle. You know, you don't feel any affection for cattle, but that is a source of food. So to them, dogs, they don't look at them like we do, and they will have dog on special occasions. And we went to a dinner one time where they served dog, and it was roasted and cooked to look like a roast beef that we would have here. Actually, the Chinese have no heat in the winter. At least the Yangtze River flows about one-third from the south of China, and that lower one-third of China below the Yangtze River, they have no heat whatsoever. There is no stoves, there are no stoves, no furnaces, no fireplaces, nothing, because they do not have the money. And it's South China, but the climate is somewhat typical of what we have here. It gets cold, but it's not as cold as Northern China. The upper two-thirds north of the Yangtze River, they do have a little bit of heat because they have snow. It's very cold. But where we were, in English would be Canton, a very, very large city. But there is no heat. Now, in the tourist hotels, yes, they have heat, they have air conditioning, they have air spring mattresses and all of that, but that is not China. The tourist hotels are not China. But in the wintertime, the weather would be very, very cold. And the wind would come down off of Siberia, and our classroom would be like ice. And we would wear long underwear, we would wear wool pants, we would wear a heavy coat and gloves and a scarf, and still you would almost shiver. It would be so cold. But the Chinese do not complain. And if they didn't complain, complaining, we didn't complain. And the way that works is that there are so many Chinese. There's one out of every four people on this earth is Chinese. There's 1.2 billion Chinese in the world. And so to them, if you complain or if they complain, they lose face. And it's F-A-C-E. And what that means is they lose respect. And so they do not complain because there's so many people and they just simply cannot do it. And they never complained about being cold. And another thing, they did not have, not only did they not have any heat at all south of the Yankees River, but they did not have any kind of screens on the windows. We had screens. They told us, they said, well, we know you're Americans and you're used to having screens to keep out the bugs. But they do not have any screens. And in their dormitories, they would have like 8 students to a room, a very small room. They have double-decker cots end to end. And they would have, even in summer, they would have no screens on the windows. You sleep under mosquito nets is what you do. But even so, the mosquitoes, there's so many mosquitoes. They're like swarms of gnats. And so you just have to get under the mosquito netting and try to keep away from the mosquitoes. But they really do not have luxuries like we know them to anyway. And I was talking with a lady who has her doctorate, who had been teaching in China for a long time, talked to her not long ago, and she told me that things are getting some better. In fact, she said she knew one Chinese who owned a car. And so you'll see it, just all kinds of vehicles on the streets, but they are not privately owned. They're owned by foreign investors, they're owned by the army, they're owned by the government. They are not owned, and they're owned. Now, our college had a vehicle, but it was not privately owned. It was owned by the college, and it was not new. It was way, way old. And then they owned a sedan, but it was very, very old. And it was only, and they had a chauffeur for it, but it was only for the president of the college to ride in or some other dignitaries. It was not for just people to get in that car and drive to town.
Could you also have opportunities to travel to Taiwan as a Liberian? You want to tell us about your experience in Taiwan?
Yes, thank you for asking me about that, because our experience in China was very, very good. We had a wonderful experience. And again, when we came back home, my husband passed away. And so I came up here to the library 9 years ago. And so one semester, they asked me if I would be interested in going to Taiwan as a librarian, because the librarian at the Taiwan Baptist Theological Seminary had become very ill and had to come back to the United States for treatment. And so they sent me over there, and when I say they sent me, I mean by that they paid my transportation, they made all the arrangements for my flight, and they provided me with a very nice place to stay when I was there, and they offered me all the amenities that they possibly could to make my life as comfortable as possible. I had a wonderful experience in Taiwan, very different from mainland China. It's still Chinese. And what happened when the Chinese fought the nationalists for control of the mainland China? The Communist Army won. The Nationalist Army, they were defeated. So the Nationalist Army retreated to the island of Taiwan, which then was Formosa. And they're still all Chinese. But in Formosa, or what they call now Taiwan, they have a democracy. People are free to work where they want to. Now, they can't do that in mainland China. The government usually will tell them where to work. In Taiwan, they have freedom of worship, of churches, of enterprise, free enterprise system. It's a very, very prosperous place. I have never seen so many automobiles. Traffic is a big problem there because the people are actually so prosperous, everybody here has a vehicle. But the Chinese, they're all Chinese, and at the Baptist Theological Seminary, those were young Chinese men and women who were studying for the master. And they were very, very, very committed people and with the one idea of a service. So I had a wonderful experience today. I enjoyed it just a lot. I do just want to say that again, how much I appreciate you asking me to do this for you. It really has been just a joy. I've enjoyed not only doing this to see you, and again, it also has made me appreciate so much being back home in the United States. In China, our telephone conversations were taped. Our mail was open. And this is rather par for the course, because this is the way the government stays in control. And if you remember the uprising in Tiananmen Square and how the students were, finally the uprising, they had to bring in the army with the tanks to put down their desire for freedom. So it makes us appreciate so much the freedoms that we take so much for granted here in America. And also, I want to tell you that we're always glad to see all the students coming to the library and let us know here at Jasper State University Library if there's any way that we can help anybody in your class. We're just so happy to do that. And thank you again for inviting me to do this.
Okay, well, thank you too, Ms.